It is indeed a privilege. As I was thinking about what to share with you this morning, I felt, or rather, I thought of the Church of Antioch in the Book of Acts. As you know, it's in chapter 13 of the Book of Acts, and so my heart was stirred up as I thought of you and what to share with you. And I believe we have many things to learn and to understand and draw from this portion of Scripture that I will read for you this morning, which is in Acts 13, verse 1 to 12. I think you also have it on the screen, or at least you have the text and the chapters. In the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what was happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This is a text that we will be meditating on, and I just wanted to read it prior to the short video that you will see now on the screen, which summarizes a bit of our previous ministry and what we are doing now. It's amazing to me to see how God has led Francis and me through different seasons in life and ministry. from pastoring a church in Dakar to providing leadership during 8 years to our United World Mission team, we felt strongly led to help launch the first national church planting agency in Senegal. Mission Inter Senegal combines the proclamation of the gospel with a demonstration of God's love to plant churches in Muslim village context. We led the ministry for about 15 years, mobilizing and equipping ingrown leaders, building an infrastructure that provided health care, fund-generating projects, community development programs that delivered village hydraulics, food security, children's ministry, microfinance, and basic education. Through the services that we provided, churches multiplied in several villages. God led us to realize that the need of the hour is to equip the church in French-speaking Africa with leaders who will love God and their neighbors, grow in Christ-like character, and develop ministry skills to reach their families, town, and nations. In addition, God has placed in our hearts the burden and the opportunities to care for the well-being of national leaders in West Africa, providing member care, coaching, and mentoring. And it's been absolutely fascinating to see the impact that this approach has on these leaders as they interact and wrestle with topics such as leading a healthy church, leading teams, peacemaking, stewardship and sustainability, leading change, mentoring, and spiritual leadership.
The Lord brought to my life my dear friend Faustine when she was in her late teens. At that time, she was in training to become a seamstress, along with Nasu, a young Christian girl whom we offered hospitality in our home because she was mistreated by her family. Faustine would come to our home with Nasu to have lunch with us every day. I then took the opportunity to do Bible study with her until she finally realized her need to give her life to the Lord. After Faustine became a Christian, her life changed completely. She faces a lot of opposition, especially with her younger sister. But through the discipleship that we continued with her, she became a stronger Christian, and her life impacted also around her, and she had the joy to see her brother and her sister, younger sister, come to Christ also. And later on, her father became also a Christian. Today, Faustine is in full-time ministry, serving the Lord, and she became my prayer partner and my best friend. I can't thank the Lord enough for the precious gift she is to me, and also to the women in Senegal, and also in West Africa, because she's serving also in other surrounding countries in West Africa. I am praising the Lord for his goodness to us.
We feel blessed to contribute to quality and quantity growth of the church in French-speaking Africa and to do it together with you. So thank you very much for your partnership. Yes. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your friendship. Like I said, the Church of Antioch came to mind as I was thinking about you, because the Church of Antioch is an example for churches throughout the ages. First, because the Church of Antioch was the first non-Jew church, and second, because it was a missionary church, a church that sent workers, which then planted churches in different parts of the world in their area. It's a church that was filled with many talented and gifted people. Some of them were teachers, some of them were prophets, as we have read in that portion of Scripture. But one thing that seemed to be common to all of them is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, when the Holy Spirit spoke to them about the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, as you know, verse 18 to 20, they were ready to listen. They were ready to take of their best people and put them on the front line for the gospel. When the Spirit told them to set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work he was calling them, they immediately did something. They fasted and they prayed. Then they laid hands on these two men and thus commended them to God's service. When Saul and Barnabas heard the call of the Holy Spirit, things began to happen. And that's just the way it ought to be. Lives were changed, churches were birthed, and miracles happened because of obedience. So, when I think of you, I see what God is doing in your midst. And so I felt impressed or burdened to share with you this few lines, these few thoughts. How wonderful, first, it is to see how God equips His church. It's one of the primary tasks of the church. The church doesn't exist to entertain people. The church exists to equip and to prepare people for God's service, God's kingdom. And as we have read, the church of Antioch was full of faithful believers, competent people, and all they needed was to hear God's prompting and calling and then get busy. And it is through the Holy Spirit that God calls people to His service. If we are listening to Him, then every one of us will get busy in one way or another in God's kingdom. There's no place for laziness in God's church. We cannot be idle in God's church. We all have something to do. And believe me, that something is not just warming the pews on Sunday morning. It is more than that. God has great things for every one of us. So, Christ uses those who are set apart. And my first question to you this morning is, do you know that you have been set apart? Do you realize that you have been set apart? Do you realize that you have been chosen and that God has something special for you in His kingdom and in His service? Serving the Lord in one way or another is the task that the church is called to prepare us to do. Christ has been in this for generation and generation, and the church of Antioch is a real demonstration of something we used to say in the previous ministry that we led you heard about, Mission Inter Senegal, which we started together with Adama Diouf and René Mbongo, my wife and I. Actually, my wife is the one that really cornered us. The Lord used her because we kept talking about this great vision of changing Senegal for Christ, and we kept talking and as we traveled together from place to place. And one day she said, well, enough of this talk. I'm going to write down what you guys are saying, and either you will put it into practice or just quit talking about great visions. And so, you know, when a woman speaks, I will stop there. I don't want to get myself in trouble. So that was the birth of a mission inter Senegal, because we did sit and wrote down things and made concrete plans then. But, you know, it all comes because Christ has something to do with us and through us. He doesn't leave his people inactive or idle in the church. The various gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us is for the benefit of the church. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 tells us that God has given us these different gifts so we can use them for the benefit of the church. Antioch had teachers and prophets, people who would speak on behalf of God. They certainly had other gifts too. But these people were called to use their gifts and talents to spread the word of the Lord and the work of Christ through the church. Christ wants us to be instruments in his hands, to be instruments of light in a fallen world, a world of darkness. The more we progress, and the more we see darkness around us. God did this through this church. God, I am sure, is doing it through Columbia Presbyterian Church. And one thing that God used to make it a reality in the church of Antioch, or two things, is through prayer and fasting. You know, you have been involved with the world of people for years, and maybe with other people, a group. And I'm sure that you have realized it. Without prayer, without a sacrificial spirit, there's no progress. You have been an inspiration to us, as Francis has said, that the Adopt a Village program that we launched within MIS was greatly inspired by your involvement with Ker Mahali in Senegal and then Koloregi network of churches and Baba Garage. We partnered with you, and we feel privileged to do that with you as a church. But there is so much more that God wants to do. With the world of people, it's still a challenge, of course. But God is making his way into the hearts of the people. But it's a battle. It's a warfare. One that cannot be won just by our own or on our own strength. We have to let God do his work, and we are his instruments. The power of God is manifested in prayer and fasting. It takes perseverance. It takes commitment. And that's something that we learn also from you. You have been persevering over the years, sending teams every year. You don't realize it, but it's an encouragement to us. We hope and pray that you are encouraged when you go and visit. But God uses you to bless us as his servants and workers in Senegal. Jesus told his disciples that certain situations will only change through prayer and fasting. You may remember in Matthew 17, verse 21, when the disciples could not cast out a demon, they asked the Lord, why were they unsuccessful? Or why didn't they have the victory over this? And the Lord said, well, in certain situations, it's only through prayer and fasting. So my word of encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, is to keep on the good fight. Continue on. It takes commitment. Prayer takes commitment. Fasting and praying shows our dependence on God and God alone. And it is He who is doing His work. Things are beginning to change with the wall of ethnic group, even though they are still very resistant. But through commitment, through perseverance, through praying for them, to fasting and sacrificing for their sake, God is working. We cannot attack the enemy of our souls by our own strength. And we cannot do it on behalf of the world of people, neither. It will take that level of commitment. We are committed to the church. We are committed to raise a new generation of leaders who will display the character of Christ as they lead, because the stake is big in West Africa. But we need you. We need your prayers. We need you to stand with us so that we can see this breakthrough someday with the world of people, with the Fulani people, with other ethnic groups in Senegal. You are a church that God is calling to be like the church of Antioch. We all need to do our part. We need to surrender ourselves to God, and that's the price that He's asking us to pay. Our trust and faith in God are seen through our total commitment, total surrender to God. And then God will start to do mighty things, just like He did with the church of Antioch. People will be touched when we share the gospel, the good news of Christ. The gospel has power, and it has power because it's the very word of God. All scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit from the Father. So, brothers and sisters, use the gifts and the talents that God has given you to use in His church. People will be blessed. People will be amazed. But they will not be amazed by what you do on your own strength. They will be amazed by things that God will be doing or is doing through you. We all need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength, the energy, the wisdom to do His work, to do the work that Christ has called His church to do. And my prayer is that as we fellowship together, and this table is a wonderful symbol of the unity we have in Christ, all one body serving Him and proclaiming His good news. May God bless us together. May He grant us to see 1, 10, 100 thousands of Wolof people come to Christ, to saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And may He continue to bless you as a church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Church of Antioch, and thank you so much for Columbia Presbyterian Church. Thank you for calling your children and for blessing us together in your service. I pray, Lord, that you continue to use this church as you have done over the years to encourage others, to bless others, to plant seeds, not just here in this community, but they have taken seriously your command to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be your witness in their Jerusalem, in their Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. May you continue to bless them, Lord, to bless this congregation, to bless the leadership, to bless the faithful believers. May people who come from outside see that the church is busy doing your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.